This is another motion to dismiss based upon the failure of the applicant to submit the required financial information. Again, I would point out that that statute or rule of the Department of Water Resources states that the applicant shall submit a financial statement certified or a financial commitment letter or a statement of the lender showing that they have sufficient assets to complete the project and apply the water to the beneficial use proposed. This water appropriation rule uses the word shall. That places a mandatory duty and requirement on the applicant to meet that obligation. They have not met that mandatory duty. I have provided the hearing examiner and counsel with just a few of the cases that deal with the word shall when used in a rule or a statute as placing a mandatory requirement upon the, even the courts themselves. I only cited cases under Rule 52A that requires the court when sitting without a jury to make written findings of fact and conclusions of law. That rule says the court shall make findings of fact and conclusions of law. It's been held that that's a mandatory duty placed on the courts. As I cited two divorce cases, Merrill versus Merrill and Angleton versus Angleton, where the court recognized that mandate and said there was a requirement placed on the court by the rule. And in fact, in Aramco versus H&R Contractors, 118 Idaho 108, 794 Pacific 2nd, 1281, a 1990 case, the court, appellate court held that the trial court had erred for failing to make the findings of fact and conclusions of law as required by the rule. If the person wanted to do extensive briefing on this, you could probably find more than 100 Idaho cases that have held where a statute or a rule uses the word shall. It is mandatory, and it is a requirement. The applicant has not provided the financial information that the rule requires. They did not do so in their case in chief. They did not do so at the time they filed this application. And we feel it would be improper rebuttal for them to now attempt to present this financial information when they didn't do it in the case in chief. It's also apparent that there's some real question here as to whether M3 has the financial resources. They don't have a certified statement or a statement from the lender. All they've got is that their employed accountants figures. And we don't think we need another Avamore or Tamarack. We would move to dismiss on those grounds.
Mr. Hearing Officer, if I could respond just briefly.
Sure.
It is quite a concern to us that Mr. Smith selectively recites from the very rule that he himself includes in his brief. The rule does not say, along with the financial statement of the lender, that it has sufficient assets to complete the project or some similar phraseology. The rule says, current financial statement certified to show the accuracy of the information contained therein, or a financial commitment letter along with the financial statement of the lender, or other evidence to show, what is all of this evidence to show, that the applicant, that it is reasonably probable that the that financing will be available to appropriate the water and apply it to the beneficial use proposed. We've been through this before. We are fully entitled, if we choose, to put on additional evidence in rebuttal on this or any other point that's been raised so far in this case. And Mr. Smith's, in fact, it's not just Mr. Smith's, it's all of the three protestants' motion is not well considered. It should be denied.
Any quick response, Mr. Smith?
I've recognized that on page 3 that it says that the applicant can produce this information during the conduct of the hearing. That should be done in their case in chief. It's not rebuttal evidence. In fact, we don't think this thing ever should have been sent for a hearing in the first place because they never had the financial information. And they've ignored that the same as they have the clear statutory language about what's required to be a municipal provider. And if they don't like the provisions of the law, they just ignore them. And I think it's time that the hearing examiner and the department dismissed it.
Okay. Well, this motion to dismiss anticipates or at least proposes that the hearing officer address this issue, this juncture of the hearing. And I refuse to dismiss the application at this point. As Mr. Faraday pointed out, the rule allows flexibility in what is submitted regarding financial resources. And that flexibility is illustrated or is found in the language where it says, or other evidence to show that it is reasonably probable that financing will be available to appropriate the water and apply it to the beneficial use proposed. And so I'll deny the motion to dismiss. In that denial, Mr. Faraday, I will mention, however, that I am concerned about the information that was presented, and particularly the discussion in cross-examination, or examination, I guess, of Mr. Brownlee, and the questions that were asked of him regarding the financial statement, what it really means and what's represented by that financial statement. And I guess I would encourage some further presentation of evidence and further elaboration on that particular subject, particularly where this particular factor is one that apparently is at issue in this particular hearing. So I would encourage some additional evidence and presentation on this subject as part of your rebuttal. I recognize your argument, Mr. Smith, that you feel that some of that should have been brought in. I've allowed some latitude on both sides on this subject, and my intent is to try to gather all of the evidence that I can on the subject and not have people trapped by rules of evidence that would exclude them somehow from presenting that in some fashion at this hearing. So I will allow some latitude in additional presentation of evidence on this subject. Okay.
We still take the position that it should have been done in their case in chief and not as rebuttal evidence, and we are at the rebuttal stage of the hearing at this time. We would like the record to show a continuing objection to any financial information that they're now attempting to provide after we pointed out a fatal flaw in their case.
Okay. The record will so show your objection, Mr. Smith. All right. Mr. Faraday?
Yes. As our first rebuttal witness, we call Dr. Spencer Wood. And as I do this, I hand the hearing officer and the other parties a document that we can mark it as an exhibit. It hasn't been marked as of yet. That is a reproduction of various pages from the transcript that we have obtained from our court reporter in this case, so that to the extent that we refer to testimony that we are seeking to rebut, the hearing officer can see what testimony was. It's simply an aid for the presentation of this rebuttal testimony.